had some great journeys together. Let's journey again, shall we, in the Word of God. Today is actually Valentine's Day. I know it may come as a shock to some, but we've planned for this day. We're thrilled because we're going to be looking in the Scriptures at something called romance. And if you'll find in the back of your bulletin, if this is your first time here, we do use Bibles. We would welcome you to raise your hand and say, you know, I just left my Bible right there in my car, or I gave it away to somebody out on the street. How's that? And we'd be happy to have you use one of our Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, feel free to take that home as well. In the back of the bulletin, you're going to see today's message. Is it entitled Rekindle the Romance? Rekindle. How many know that God is romantic? Isn't that true? He's the one that designed romance. He's the one that invented sex. I know we might think it was the devil, but God was the one who put it together. And let me tell you, he's so romantic, he wrote a whole book in the Bible about it. It's called the Song of Solomon. And God is interested in romance, and that's what we're going to engage at right now in our message today. And how many know there is an epidemic in our country? It's families that are breaking up. 50% of the families and relationships, after being married for 20 years or more, they say, you know what, we're kind of done here. But we need to revisit this, and I believe today God's going to help us. Not only if you are a single person and just maybe kind of walking things out with God, how perfect is that? This message is still applicable for you. For you who are in any kind of a relationship with somebody, I believe the Lord has something for us in each and every one of us. And why not talk about romance in church? Isn't that true? There is no better place, there's no better time than today. I mean, or where would we want our young people to study romance? In the lockers there after PE? No way, come on. So it's important for us. Dear Abby, this letter says, do all marriages have to go stale after 25 years? Ours has. My husband and I don't seem to have much to talk about anymore. We used to talk about our children, but now they're gone. We don't have anything in common. I've noted these complaints to my husband, but the old excitement is gone. We watch a lot of TV, we read, we have some friends, but when we're alone together, it's pretty dull. We even sleep in different rooms now. Is there any way to capture that old magic? Signed, the song has ended. Oh my, isn't that a desperate letter? Reader's Digest did a poll, the most commonly asked questions to marriage counselors. Number one question, why don't we love each other the way we used to? When we take a look here, I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad you're here. I believe that marriage or any relationship at all, especially with God, it's a living organism. It needs to be fostered, and especially in the marriage setting. So if you're maybe here in whatever relationship you have going on, not only with God, but how about with that special someone in your life, and it's lost its pizzazz, man, let's take a look at the Scriptures. You can see here Revelation chapter 2 is where I've cited verse 4 and 5, and as is our custom, I'm sure it's yours too, we always ask the Lord, open the Word. So Lord, we're asking, speak to us. Lord, do something through your Word that would just enhance the quality of our life and the richness of relationships all around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's look here, because in Revelation chapter 2, God is saying something to his bride. That bride is the church. He's talking to the church. And I believe we can apply it to our marriage relationships as well. So what God is saying to his bride, we can also say to our bride or our mate, because we know Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ so loved the church. And Christ loves you. Christ loves you. Man, you might be your first time here in a church in a long time or at all, but God loves you and has given his life for you, for me. So we can take what God has said to his church and apply it now to our relationships with our spouse. Let's look here. Look at verse 4. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Now, let's take a look here because this is it's a reminder because this message, it's a living object lesson to the world that our marriages really do display the love God has for the church and as people, our love that we should display to God as well. But let's look here for a moment because just in case you're here and things are going very cold and warm with your relationship with God, let's even just start there for just even our singles or anybody. Man, God would say, hey, remember. First of all, if you look here, three words are listed there in verse 5. Remember, I've underlined that. Then the next word is repent. That's on your notes as well. Then he says, do the first works. And I just use that number 3, return. So he's saying to you who have lost your first love with me, want you to remember, want you to repent, and let's return. And he's saying that to his bride, the church. But now let's say that to our relationships that are here. When God comes along, number 1, remember the height from which you had fallen. That's what he's saying. Remember the good times we had. You and God. But let's now take it with our marriages. Don't you remember when you first started getting acquainted with that special someone in your life? Remember the good times. Recall what you did to enjoy your relationships. Recall what you did in the first place to even start falling in a romantic relationship. Second point, look at number 2. He says there in verse 5, repent, which means change your attitude. You know something's not right, going the wrong way. And he says, this is what's going wrong. You've left your first love. Man, you're like getting rid of that. Remember how good it once was, but now you're going the wrong way and repent and turn around. Now, when a person repents, you and I recognize that really is repentance is denouncing old ways that you and I know are wrong and we choose to do what God says. I'm going to do what God says because I know it's the right thing. You can imagine, you know, if I stepped on your toe and said, boom, oh, you know, I am sorry I stepped on your toe. Will you forgive me? And then I go ahead and step on your toe again. You know, I'm sorry I stepped on your toe again. I'm not really repentant. Then I come along, I'm going to step one more time. I'm really sorry. That is not repentance. There's no change going on there. God says, man, remember how good you had it in your relationship with that person in your life? Now something's kind of gone cold. Why don't you repent? Make some changes here before it's too late. Then he comes along and he says, man, return. You know, sometimes I sit with guys and say, I just can't be romantic there, Pastor. I see what you and how you handle your wife. And I thought, well, you can be romantic. God's saying be romantic. You can do that. I mean, to say I can't do something, how many know that's a spirit? It can be kind of like a stubborn spirit and say, no, I can't. But God says, I have this against you. What, Lord? What? Man, you've left your first love. Oh, really? What do I do? Repent. And verse number 3, return and do what you did to fall in love. Start going back at it to do what you do and need to do to fall back in love or to stay in love. I have a couple of things here. Isn't it interesting? You remember what it was like when you enjoyed your relationship with that person in your life? You must continue to keep doing that to stay in love. How many would agree it's easier to fall in love than it is to stay in love? Anybody here? 2. Good. The rest of you, man, you're like primed and hot. I don't want to call anybody out. I just know how it is. But God wants us to grow. He wants us to grow as people and do those right things. And so when we look here, we're seeing here in our notes, I've got 5 biblical actions that will rekindle romance. There's a flicker going on. There's something happening. But man, we need to get that relationship up and running hot once again. Let's take a look at number 1. Number 1, attention. Can you see that on your notes? Give each other lots of attention. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 says, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. So the first sign that you were falling in love with that person in your life, you started to pay attention to each other. Isn't that true? Somebody was looking at you, and you realize, I think they're kind of like staring a long time at me. Maybe they like me. I remember when I met Ainsley, started becoming acquainted at Bible college, and she'd come into the 400 room on the fourth floor, and I was like, there she is. And I would just watch her. I'd stare, and all of a sudden she'd look over, and I think she saw me looking. I'd turn down real quick, scratch my eyes as if I got something in them. And all of a sudden I'd look up, and she'd be not looking at me. I'd be staring. And she'd look over at me again. Oh, what, who? Yeah. And then eventually I caught her looking at me. And I thought, I think she's paying me attention. She might even like me. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that how it started? You started giving attention to each other. You recognize that, hey, maybe that person is interested in me. And what happens when you get married and there's your wife across the room? She's staring at you. You look up. You say, what? What's wrong? I owe you money or something? Come on. What are you looking at? It's like it's a sin all of a sudden to stare at each other. Now that you're married, it's an amazing thing. The first step of falling in love, you are giving attention to each other. God says, repent. Go back and do the first works. Keep giving each other attention to stay in love. And you remember how much attention you paid to each other. Remember writing notes to each other? I mean, the notes were long. You got on the phone and you started talking to each other, sometimes hours. It's like, whoa, man, I don't know if I can afford this phone bill anymore. And so in the process of that, what you were telling each other, you have my undivided attention. What happened? We stopped giving attention to each other. We get married, we come along, and we just say, you know what? You know, you need that? What? Get it yourself. Can you imagine that? What? What? So we start to just, the newness starts to wear off, isn't it? It happens. Guys, when we buy a car, remember those days? Whatever that new car looks like, man, you can't believe it. It's mine, man. It's mine. And you're out there and you're polishing that puppy long after midnight. I mean, and then you vacuum the interior. And then the kids come in there with donuts from the Koinonia Fellowship. And they start, no way, no way. Everybody out, they can't come in until they take a bath. Remember that? You can't. Then all of a sudden now, when they come in and crumble donuts all over it, you say, oh, no big deal. No, just call the dog and let them lick it up. You know what I mean? It's just, no big, things kind of grow old. We have to be careful about that. It happens to everything. Happens to our houses. Happens to boats. It happens to toys. It may happen to dresses, and even happens to marriages. We just say, you know what? I'm not as interested as I once was. So we lose attraction to it, and all of a sudden we stop giving attention. Be careful about that. Women will come along and say, honey, what happened to us? And when we were first married, you were my amazing hunk. You were like Thor. You were like Chris Hemsworth. What happened to you? Look at you. Man, now you're like Saddam Hussein. What? Are you out of here? What's going on here? Well, sweetheart, let me just tell you, you were like Angelina Jolie. You were my Lojo. Come on, man. Can you imagine what happened? All of a sudden, you're now like Rosie O'Donnell. What? No way. No way. And so we just kind of like come along there. We've got to be careful about that. University of Nebraska did research. Healthy marriages spend a lot of time with each other. And I'll tell you, the greatest enemy of any romance is a busy schedule. Oh, they'll understand. I just can't be with you. Well, I'll tell you, eventually things grow cold. Watch out. Show attention. Go back and do those first. Do what you did to fall in love. Keep doing it to stay in love. Number two, affirmation. Build each other up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says that. Man, it actually says edify one another, but the quickest way to spark love with somebody, man, just talk well with them. Speak about them. Tell them their qualities that you like. Everybody needs to be affirmed. Everybody needs to be appreciated. It's wonderful. Matter of fact, we fall in love with people that love us. The way we look, the way we handle things. All of a sudden, somebody says, you know, I really like it the way you carry yourself in public. You must be a woman of distinction. You say that, oh, we love people that love us, who we are. And that's how we fell in love, because somebody admired our works or how we handle things. Romans 12:10 says, take delight in honoring each other. I mean, it really is hard for some people to pay a compliment. You got to like kind of prime the pump. I'm really going to tell you how great you are. Here I come. It just feels like it's not going to come out quite accurate. I won't even say anything. Can you imagine? We need to affirm each other, verbalize it. The power in the spoken word is so significant in any relationship. How will people know unless you tell them? How will that special someone in your life know unless you tell? Oh, they know. Do they? You'll be surprised. Well, since it's Valentine's Day today, radio station did the top 10 terms of endearment. Here they are. You might use some. Maybe that's your title. Number one, terms of endearment, is honey. Number two, baby. Number three, sweetheart. Number four, dear. Number five, darling. Number six, sugar. Number seven, lover. Number eight, pumpkin. It goes south from here. Let me just... Number nine, angel pie. Ooh. Number 10, precious. Number 11, love puppy. And my favorite is number 12, wild thing. Don't you love that? I say, yes, yes. That's a great one. So affirm each other, the power of the spoken word. A woman went to the divorce lawyer and said, I hate my husband. I want to get so even with him. I want to at least divorce him. Is there anything we could do to really make this divorce sting? Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. While I'm drafting up the documents, why don't you, for the next month and a half, speak well of your husband. You tell him how marvelous he is. You give him foot massages, and you, anything he needs, you just affirm that. All of a sudden, at about a month's time, she gave the attorney the phone call and said, I'd like to cancel the divorce proceedings. Why? What happened? We've fallen in love again. All because she started to speak well and affirm her husband. True story. It's an amazing thing when we affirm one another. So, number one, attention. Number two, affirmation. Number three, affections. Take a look at that. Marriages need the physical touch in large amounts. And I just want to emphasize that. Colossians 3, verse 19, Amplified Bible says, husbands, be affectionate. Our Bibles say, husbands, love your wives. How many know that's a command? You don't wait to say, I'm going to love her or love him. Bible says you need to go for it. You don't wait for something. There are two kinds of people. There will be some that say, well, I'm going to do it when I actually get around to it or I feel like doing it. And then there are others that say, I'm going to do it because it's the right thing to do. I'm telling you, the first group of people that say, you know, I really just don't do that because it just doesn't fit my style. I don't have the time for that. Friends, that will not maintain maturity in anyone. That will not maintain relationships. Matter of fact, so many of us were trying to encourage us in our discipleship program, say, well, you know, I really can't do it. It doesn't fit my schedule. Not really my style of learning. Man, sometimes we just need to say, I'm going to do it because it's the right thing to do. And here we've got a command. Husbands, love. All marriages need large amounts of hugging and kissing and patting and touching and is it me or is it getting hot in here? Is it, huh? Yes! Yes, I'm telling you. It's exciting when that happens. Leland Ryken, he put out a book called The Worldly Saints, The Puritans as They Really Are. And it's an amazing thing because you and I would think the Puritans, man, talk about the most unaffectionate, but it's absolutely the opposite. They held romance and sexual activity in the marriage in a high esteem, high quality. Matter of fact, Ryken says this, when a New England Puritan wife complained to her pastor that her husband was withholding relationships, intimacy, romance, they proceeded to excommunicate him from the church. They took him and they were going to kick him out. Can you imagine what would happen to Hope Chapel? He said, how's it going there, sweetie? Wink, wink, wink. You're out? Oh, man. So we come along here. It's important. You know, it's important that touch and affection is so important just for the human body. It's been proven now for really hundreds of years. But that babies survive best in birth, having, they call touch, and they call it, to lack that, it's called skin or touch deprivation, that the immune system drops down if a baby does not have holding and caressing. Ladies, did you know that the UCLA did a study and that you, if you hug your husband 3 times a day, you will increase his lifespan by 3 years. Isn't that great? Some of you are looking over there and saying, honey, I'm sorry, you're going to die. You know, it's just, it's just the way it's going to be. Study says. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28 says, love each other as your own body. Genesis 26, verse 8 says, Abimelech, the king, saw Isaac showing endearment to Rebekah, his wife. Remember that story? The old King James says he was sporting his wife. I like that. That's pretty cool. The NAS version says he was caressing his wife. Living Bible says he was petting his wife. Now, I like the old King James, sporting his wife. How many know that? I mean, he was having fun at it. He's having fun. It's the first time in the Bible sports is mentioned. It's an indoor, outdoor sport. No equipment necessary. You just have fun at it. It's important. Man. So everybody write this down, because I know you want to go into your mini church. Here it is. Write down appearance influences affection. Got it? I'm looking. Appearance influences affection. How many realize it's always the cute doggies that get all the strokes a whole lot more than the ugly smooch pooch? Isn't that true? It's just the nature of the game. So when we get married, we get complacent about our appearance. Isn't that true? We just like, you know, I don't need to exercise anymore. And guys start to develop what's called Dunlop's disease. The belly Dunlops over the buckle right there. Just there it is. And just, we're not taking care of our dress. It's like we continue to wear the same old, same old. Guys, remember when we were just sprucing up to go out on the date when we were first trying to impress the girl? Remember that? I mean, it was impressive. We combed our hair. We washed under our armpits. Isn't that great? And it's, man, what happened now? Now we only dress up when we go out. You know what I mean? Come on, get going right there in the house. Get rid of the old rags. Ladies, I'm telling you, man, just remember this. Appearance influences affection. Get rid of those old rags. Why? They're so comfortable. Oh, yeah. No. Please. We'll get you some new. Matter of fact, go without. That would be great. We'll work on that. So it's important. Women, I have been asked this question too, and I think it's intriguing, because people come up and say, hey, Paul, I know that you're one of those Pentecostal preachers, and what do you dudes think about women wearing makeup, eh? And I have one simple answer, and that is, the house needs painting, baby, paint it. You go for it. Let's go. And I'm telling you, because appearance influences what? Affection. Hello. All marriages need that. Very important. Number 4, adventure. Let's be a fun couple, not a bore. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 9 says this, live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your life. Most marriages are pretty dull. Don't do that to yourselves. Don't do that. Are you a charismatic person, or are you a couch potato? That's your dates are with the remote control between you and your wife or you and your husband. Don't do that. Have you ever done anything that's just kind of like random fun? How great is that? Adventure is so important. Is your life predictable? Are you not really a fun person to live with? I like Jesus as an example in Matthew 11:19. Philip's translation says, Jesus came and joined life, and the Pharisees got mad at him. Man, Jesus loved going to Hope Chapel socials. Is that true? He loved it. He was a party animal. He enjoyed times out there. And people said, man, you need to be kind of like baptized in lemon juice, Jesus, like the rest of us. No way. Don't let that happen. Please don't let that happen. And so as we look here, number 5, Agreement. Agreement. Spiritual unity promotes romance. I like Amos 3:3. How can two walk together unless they agree? That's so important. Good dialogue, good understanding. When people start to come together, and one of the most outstanding spiritual unity, guys, it's very attractive to women. When men love God, not just show up for the event, they're hoping that as we come into the arena where there's a presence of God, that we might soften our hearts and become men of integrity and more trustworthy, because I don't know of a person on this planet that has not had promise broken or somehow been rejected. And they're hoping that God will change a man's heart, maybe change a woman's heart. It's a profound thing, very attractive to have a spiritual life together. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, it says, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Let me conclude with this thought. The Bible is very clear in 1 Thessalonians 5 that we are made of three parts, like the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You are body, soul, and spirit. Each three parts of you need to be connected with that someone special in your life. We're talking romance. Affection's part of that. The intimacy's a given. That connects the body to the body, but if there's not that spiritual sensation going on, there's going to be a real lack and a tumbling down that will accelerate. You need to have not only the physical attraction, that's important, and ladies, be careful of men that say, we don't need to have a commitment here and we don't need to get married. That's not love. That's called lust. See, love can wait. Lust cannot. Some guy comes along and says, honey, I like you, you like me, let's get together. They should say, I lust you. Come over here. Don't do that. The aspect of the soul has its enrichment when we talk to each other. We connect on an intellectual level. We reason in our soul. It's the soul that is in you that's going to make the decision for God and prayer, because you're a spirit being, or your soul's going to say, no, I'm going to veg out with some more sports because it's so much easier. That soul makes the decision. That soul in you is where the rewards happen or are nullified. And so with your spouse, as you start talking, and you know, don't you, when your spouse has really heard, slow down and heard your passions. And then, naturally, the spirit, where it's so attractive. Please make sure you pray together. You're here today. Maybe that special someone in your life is not. Then you lead the prayer. How? Take them to In-N-Out. Pray over the meal. Start there. You watch, romance will come. She's waiting for the man to rise up and say, you know what, let's just pray. I'm a little uneasy about it, but I know it's the right thing to do. Man, romance and compassion and passion will be flooding on in there. Be a person that leads in prayer. Ladies, sometimes the men, we do lose our way. We can get quite wrapped up in work. We forget our place as headship. That's why you're called the helper. Help us find that place. It's important. The agreement, spiritual unity, promotes a real romantic setting. For Ainsley and me, it happens on Saturday morning where we have our cup of coffee and we pray over many things you face, many things over our family. It's a wonderful time where we connect in that area. We pray every day of the week, but together. So please don't just say, sweetie, I'll be praying for you as I drive off to work. It's together. The two become one, spirit, soul, and body. Well, thank you for listening. You've certainly been a great group this morning. Haven't we had fun? Good. Well, thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Well, we'll give credit to the Lord. I'm going to invite you to close your Bibles. Let's stand to our feet. We will have some individuals up here to pray at the altar for you for whatever you're needing prayer for. If you have your children here at Hope Chapel, please go get your children first and bring them back with you. You'll find it's going to be we'll be here waiting for you. We have Ainsley taking signups for levels 1 through 5. You'll see her out in the kitchen cart. I'm so excited. And I'm going to be in the fellowship hall. Let's talk water baptism. So we're thrilled about that. That's happening next week. Next week. Want to see that happen for so many of us. So I'm going to pray off the best blessing I can. Have a great Valentine's Day. I want to get you right there to the buffet line so that you can buffet your bodies all you want, okay? Father, we sure love you, and we want to thank you. As we pray now, your grace, a good work on our single men and women, our young people. Lord, come. May they fall in love with you like never before. If there are those who are distant from you, Lord, bring them close. May they see and sense the love that you have for them through the cross of Jesus. And may our marriages, or possibly our single parents, Lord, may those who are working so hard to just maintain a unity and a great strength within the home, Lord, let your presence make a big difference this week. And may direction come and happiness return and loneliness be removed in the name of Jesus. We want to thank you, Lord. Thank you for showing us how it's done. And we will listen to the voice of God, and we will be true to follow your direction to life evermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, everyone. Thank you for coming. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.